We're moving, yep, continuing with Franklin High School. We're excited to welcome Dr. Weber and Ms. Feedy and Ms. Reed to the rostrum to do a presentation on our Franklin High School Program of Studies. This is an annual update presentation. I'm really excited. What makes this one unique is there's some pieces in there that are new additions to an excellent Franklin High School program. So kudos to Dr. Weber, her team, all the staff, the counselors, our guidance counselors, everyone who has worked behind the scenes to make the work happen for these changes. And I'll kick it over to you, Dr. Weber, but kudos to you. I know that since you've taken over in this role, you've done an excellent job of leading and really listening to where the building's at and the school's at. And I'm just excited to hear, and I'm excited for the community to hear about the great things that you and your teams are presenting that you have to share.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that lovely introduction, those words. It's a privilege and a pleasure. This is like my dream job, and I'm loving it. And none of this could be possible with, you know, the work that we've done and what we can share, what our program of studies is really a collaborative effort. The administrative team tonight, we have Ms. Kristen Reed, and we have our new to us this year is Christine Scafidi. She's our career counselor, part of our guidance department. There's some department heads and directors behind me that all work hard to contribute to this. The rest of the guidance counseling team, the teachers, and everyone. So it's quite an effort. We start this process way back in November, early November, to start taking a look at the program of studies. So tonight we will just review the process about how we review the program of studies. We will mention some notable adjustments to this year's program of studies and some new course proposals that our teachers have recommended, and some other considerations for families and students to think about as they're selecting their courses for next year. And then we would love to provide you with an update on our Innovation Career Pathways that almost everybody here, I know there's some new members, so we're welcoming questions at the end if you have them. So we have an update for you as well. So just briefly, I think it's important to share this information so that you know really how comprehensive this is and all the factors that go into what lands in our program of studies. We really start, like I said, in early November with Principals Council. So that's our group of department heads, directors, building administrators, and our central office, some of our central office of teaching and learning administrators. We review the course content, structure, the language. We just, every year, we go through the framework of the program of studies and make sure it's up to date and is reflective of what we still want it to be reflecting. Guidance will review our explanation of the graduation requirements, because in the recent years they've changed a little bit as we've added a few things. For instance, the art requirement was added, I think, now 2 years ago. So personal finance was added as well. So those minor changes, we just make sure we check and make sure that they're updated. The next phase really involves analyzing some of the historical data. So we really take a look at enrollment trends. What are students selecting? What do students want to take? Which courses are becoming much more populated and in demand? We look at our staff, our current staffing. We look at class sizes. We look at overall where students have landed and how our schedule has worked. And then we take a good look at, are there any gaps in our offerings? Are there new trends and things that we really want our students to experience that is missing from our program of studies, and can we find creative ways to offer them? And you'll hear some more of our course offerings a little bit later that reflects some of those changes. And we make sure we review for DESE's guidance, our own portion of a graduate, and our requirements. Then we move to phase three, where we receive the course proposals based on, you know, this analysis and this thoughtfulness given by our teachers and our department heads and directors. And then I will review them with other members of the admin team and the Office of Teaching and Learning. We make some final revisions, and then we present them to you for approval. And then after this, it really launches our scheduling process. So tomorrow morning, if and when this is approved, incoming ninth graders, so current eighth grade families, will receive notification of what's next for them. And they'll get exposure to the program of studies with a lot of information about the scheduling process, courses to look for, and things like that. And then they'll learn a lot more about that on Panther Pride Night. And they have information about that already. And then concurrently, we have our guidance counselors meeting with our 9th, 10th, and 11th graders to start their scheduling meetings. And new this year, thanks to the WIN block, the guidance counselors are also offering like sort of guidance seminars by grade to just offer more assistance to students who might have questions about certain paths or that they want to pursue in their scheduling and their course selections. So that summarizes our process. And some notable adjustments, Kristen will share some of those.
I'm going to speak to the notable adjustments that we made to our program of studies this year. Just noting up on the screen there, there's the Innovation Career Pathways was added to our program of studies. Dr. Weber mentioned this earlier, and Christine Scafidi will be talking about this more later in the presentation, but we have two pathways that have been added to our program of studies, one in business and finance and one in health and social assistance. So you'll hear more details about that. It's important to note that those pathways are designed to explore careers and expose students to opportunities like job shadowing, internships, guest speakers, while also aligning with the courses that they're currently taking at the high school. So and again, you'll hear more about that from Christine. We also have some new course proposals that were accepted and added to the program of studies. As Dr. Weber mentioned, during our review process, we work with the teachers and then the department heads and directors to identify areas that potentially are gaps in the curriculum or where we're seeing increase in student interest. And so we take a look at those course proposals and we look to enhance our curriculum by adding new courses in response to student interest. So you will hear more in detail in the next slide about what those courses are. It's also important to note that we did make some changes to some existing courses. Some of the courses that we are noticing maybe don't have as much interest from year to year, we've modified them slightly to have them run every other year so that students who are interested in those courses still have the opportunity to take them. And that is primarily elective courses that tend to have smaller enrollment. We still would like students to have that opportunity to enroll in those courses in their time. And then the other two notable adjustments I would just mention is our competency determination language, which is currently already in place. I know most of you have seen that already, but we did add that to our program of studies so that was clear for our families as they're looking at our graduation requirements. This just, as a reminder, is the language that was added in response to MCAS being removed as the competency determination for graduation. DESE we now have language pursuant to DESE guidance that is our competency determination in the content areas of English, math, and science that were previously covered by the MCAS testing. So that language is all in there as well. And then finally, we added language about the curriculum opt-out, which is the right of parents to review curriculum materials and then also request very specific content opt-out related to that conflicts with their religious beliefs. And so that language is also in there. Just a note about that process comes through the building principal and it would involve both reviewing the materials but then also identifying very specific areas and meeting with school personnel to identify those areas.
Okay, so the new course proposals, they're very purposeful, they're kind of exciting to share. I'm happy to answer questions about them, but briefly, so our visual and performing arts department really felt that something that would enhance their offerings was an art exploration class. And what's unique about this is they're still learning the specific skills and curriculum that's related to art and the art frameworks. However, it's a course that's a little bit more there's a little bit more freedom in terms of the projects that they're using. So this is unique in that this is an offering in which students can take more than once because they'll experience a different project. There's a few courses within our program of studies where students can take more than once for credit, and this will be one of those. It's a little bit more progressive, and I think is what they called it, and it's an exciting opportunity. It's really gonna appeal, I think, to a wide range of students who might have an interest in art. And then Learn to Jam is proposed by our music department. And so Learn to Jam is a beginner course. You could think about students who are maybe interested in playing an instrument at home, maybe get together with friends and maybe do a little band action. And we have like an opportunity. Yeah, they like to jam, right? So they like to jam. So we're hoping this will appeal to some kids that maybe aren't on, you know, the traditional music track, but certainly have an interest and a desire to spend some time learning some music in this way. So
you get on the announcements to say, is anyone looking to do some jam action?
It's jam action.
You really sell that.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Jam action. I wish I could jam.
Well, there's a course.
Maybe I should do some observations of that. Next time I'll be here with the piano. Maybe a guitar, maybe them all, I don't know. Earth Science Honor, so this might have a longer explanation. I'm gonna keep it short. Really, this is very thoughtful because we were finding it, and I think Jen Curley is here too. She's the department head for science. We had a really good comprehensive conversation about how a lot of our students are trending towards the health sciences, and while that's great, we want students to leave Franklin High School with a more of a comprehensive exposure to sciences. And so we really want to give students the opportunity to take some physical sciences and providing some coursework in that as well. So we're adding an honors option of earth science, and we'll see where the kids go, what they choose. World language, we're offering two semester-based classes that are Latin-based. So medical Latin, so students who are interested in learning, perhaps they're looking towards that pathways track in health sciences, or they just have an interest in learning some medical terminology. So really the foundation is the Latin language, and same thing applies for legal vocabulary as well. So that's a new offering. We'll see if students choose to take it. We all know about Latin. And so hopefully this is something, none of these, by the way, change any, I think it's important to note, we have the current staffing. This is all about student choice. And then we run the courses based on that. So we're not creating new positions. We're not eliminating positions. It's just working with what we have and see what the students choose. Again, the purpose of this is to fill any gaps or consider offerings to just continue to develop our program of studies. American History through Sports, that is a semester course, and it's to look at the American history through a societal and cultural viewpoint, sports acting as a powerful and accessible lens to examine major social, economic, and cultural and political developments in the United States. That's the primary focus of this offering. The next one's very exciting, RefReps. So here, this is through our health and PE department. Students will have the opportunity to lead this course being certified referees. And so this is filling a gap for, I don't know if you attend many youth sports games, but you know, anything from younger grades all the way up to our varsity sports. We always hear that there's a ref shortage, it's hard to get refs. Well, this is going to provide students the opportunity to get certified. When they leave that course, they'll be able to work and be paid for any sub-varsity level sport that they get certified in. So we're excited for that. And then the two business proposals are really also great offerings. The Entrepreneurship 2 class, we have a 1. The 2 is an extension. We're developing our school store. We currently have a school store that has transitioned a little bit in its purpose. In this way, students in entrepreneurship will really take over the function of the school store, learning how to order, manage the finances, the inventory, and all the things associated with running a small business. And so this course is designed to serve that purpose. And then the other course, AP Business and Personal Finance, is a new offering by the AP College Board. There's no cost to us. They're also even training. They offer to train our, I think, one teacher at no cost this summer. I believe there's no materials, no cost for the curriculum materials either. We have a personal finance requirement already, and we have a course already, a semester course, but students who take this course, that would be fulfilled through this as well. So we're excited for this offering. As you know, you've heard that we have a very large interest, a growing and developing interest in our business department and our programming. It's also one of our pathways. And that's it for the new course proposals. Oh, and this is something that in our program of studies, parents should pay attention to this. We do have a list of questions by grade. It's a great opportunity for you to sit with your student, your child, have a conversation and say, you know, have you considered, and the students will do this with their guidance counselors, but have you chosen courses to keep you in pace for your graduation requirements? Do they align with your post-secondary plans? Are they appropriate courses for the level at which you will be most successful? So these are really important conversations. It's important to note that the selection process, it's very, very, it's very important that students try to choose the best fit option, and they will make that decision based on themselves with their families, but really, they should really also consider very heavily the recommendation of their teacher, because it's with a very tight schedule and large class sizes and restricted, there's a lot of restricted movement. So once a student is registered for a certain class, there's a certain number who are selecting honors X, a certain number who are selecting CP X or open honors, and then the schedule is recreated, as you can imagine, with close to 1,400 students, and they're packed classes. So it's very difficult to make those changes. We do, of course, try to accommodate students as best we can, but oftentimes it will throw off the rest of their schedule if they have to make one change to math or one change to English or something like that. So really, it's really important that that part of the program of studies people make note of and really think thoughtfully about what their selections are when choosing courses. Great, and now an update on our pathways.
Hello everyone, as I was introduced, my name is Christine Scafidi and I am the career school counselor at Franklin High School, who is overseeing the new Innovation Career Pathway program that the high school and our district leaders worked so hard to process a grant over the last few years, and now we have it. We have it in the business and finance sector, and also in health and social assistance. And a little bit on my background, I have been a school counselor for my entire career, and I've spent the last 7 years working with the city in the early college and in basically in college access. But I have also worked with the Department of Higher Ed and on the designation processes for Innovation Career Pathways and also with early college. So I've worked with school districts specifically to get this grant. So I'm tremendously honored and really happy, and to hear Maria start her presentation this evening saying this is her dream job. I feel like this is my dream job now, to be in a district that's actually implementing something that I've been working with districts over the years to get Part A and then Part B, and now I'm doing it. So it's really great to finally be here putting the pieces together in a district and working with students and teachers. And so the pathway now is here. And what's really exciting is putting all the pieces in place, which is having in the program of studies is really exciting. So now our students and our faculty and our families can see that it's noted in the program of studies that there's a little icon next to our courses that know which courses in our business department, our science department, our social studies, and our health and physical education departments. Those are the four departments that currently contribute to these two pathways. And so students can see when they meet with their school counselors or when parents look at our program of studies, they can see those courses and tell which ones are contributing to a pathway. So when they're taking those courses, so if you have a freshman or a sophomore or any grade level that might be taking financial literacy right now, that's absolutely in our business and finance pathway. I was at DECA last week, so I'm sure I saw your son. But I was supporting all the students as a chaperone at the DECA regionals last week, and I was thinking to myself, oh, I cannot wait to get my hands on all of them and recruit them into the pathway, because it's very exciting to think about all of the additional things that we can be doing with them when it's thinking about bringing in guest speakers, whether it's taking them on field trips, all of the great supplemental experiences that we can be giving them in these wonderful growing fields. And as Dr. Weber said, you know, business is something that Franklin really has really, you know, grown to enjoy and adding these two new courses. So the way the pathway works is we have four courses that the students can take. And in addition to those four courses that they're already taking, we can supplement it with all kinds of wonderful, rich experiences. They can have an industry-recognized credential, and all of these wonderful things that can happen throughout their time here between freshman and senior year, and then it culminates in a 100-hour internship or externship or capstone experience as a senior. And so think of it, and I know you're all probably very familiar with our senior project, which is 70 hours. Well, this is adding 30 hours on top of that, where they're really focusing with a partner in the community or somewhere else that we've identified that is a partner in that pathway. So for example, for health and social assistance, we've connected with Sturdy, Sturdy Memorial Hospital. We've also connected with MRN Diagnostics here in Franklin, who has always been a partner in the community, has said that they will focus on ICP with us. And we also have partnered with Dean Bank. And we're starting that partnership this spring by placing senior projects there so that we can start to build that partnership now and work backwards to figure out what we can be doing along the way when we start to build in the sophomore experiences and the junior experiences. So this is going to be a really great way for us to really start to build the pathway as we go along. And our faculty are already experts. So we're just going to start to identify those students now so that those pathways become more robust. And in the future, maybe we'll be adding some courses at another school committee meeting. But for now, we have these incredible pathways already in place. And we're ready to bring the students in. And if you have questions, I'll be at Panther Night. And I will be supporting the school counselors as they recommend these courses and talk to the students about them. If they have questions, they can reach out to me. But we're really excited about the two pathways, and we look forward to having them grow. That's it for us.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Any questions from the committee?
You had mentioned that the new courses that you have outlined are going to be dependent on student enrollment and that it's not replacing anything. How exactly does that play out? Can you kind of summarize like the steps involved in determining what actually like follows through and becomes a course?
Yes. So we will, once each grade goes through and meets with our guidance counselors, and then we have our Aspen window open for a period of time where students will select their courses. They select their like first and second choices. And then we have a wonderful Aspen guru, Dave Soulard, who's also a guidance counselor on the side. Kidding, he's become our expert though. Yeah. In Aspen, he's so great. He's literally spends days working on interfacing with Aspen to create this master schedule, and it puts students, he creates some like spreadsheets that basically will say how many students have selected whatever course it is, and then we use those tallies to say, all right, that equals X number of sections. And so sometimes it's a nice number that fits, and sometimes it's we only have room for 75 students in this course, so the other 50 that chose it can't get this as a priority for this year. So there's lots of things that go into producing like a master schedule. And Lucas himself has some experience.
I used to do the schedule for the high school. Sorry, I see some department heads.
Yeah.
But also that's where there's the the program does this, but the humanistic element is the work of the department heads to look at the sections that they're going to offer, which teachers will they assign to teach the specific courses that are available. And then you run that machine and based on all that input. So it's using the tools we have with the humans that we have who are experts in the area and to make that happen. So, and also I tell my own children, you vote for courses with your selections. So if you are interested in it, you should put it down as something you're interested to take, because ultimately when those tallies come in, those really dictate what runs. If there's one person who wants a course, it's not going to run, but if there's courses that have 50, 75, 100 students, those are obviously ones that the department would look at and say, oh, we need to create some sections for this and make it work with the FTE that we have. So.
Good, thank you for the answer. And then actually a follow-up, is that, you'd mentioned how like honors classes can become very big. Is that the same process that you determine the number of honors sections through like this?
Yes, so it's independent of the level. It's wherever the course is, wherever the students are choosing. And then conversely, on the other side of things, the difficult decisions are when we have a cohort of students, maybe 10 or 12, who are interested in a course, and unfortunately, we can't have class sizes that small anymore because we wouldn't be able to teach all the students who need to be taught. So those are the courses that get dissolved or don't get to run. We did do a significant dive into looking at some of that data, and we did make some decisions this year with the contributions of the department heads to start offering some courses every other year so that we can hopefully give students opportunities to take it. And then, you know, that we can offer a section of 22 or 24 or 25 or 28 kids where we wouldn't be able to offer to just 12 in one year.
Thank you again for the answers. I hope the students take advantage of the offerings. I would love to learn again when I was in
right? Yeah.
I have no further questions.
Are the new proposed courses offered across all grade levels?
Not all of them. So if you look in the program of studies, there's a section where you can click on each department, and then within those, each of the courses are linked. And so some of them specifically are for, like for instance, the earth science one would not be offered to freshmen because they have to take biology first. So each of them follow whatever progression. But most of them are, of these ones, I think, are 10 through 12. I believe the art and the learn to jam are 9 through 12. World language, I believe, is 10. I don't know off the top of my head each of them, but it depends on what the prerequisites were determined were necessary in order to be able to be successful in the course.
No, I think these are great. I echo, my son would love this learn to jam. I can eat now, so we have a little bit of time. But the referee program, I mean, all these like real life experiences, it's terrific. Thank you.
Yep, just to echo my colleagues, definitely great to have these programs that provide that real life learning experience and just getting the students and community doing the work. The pathways don't, kind of have a question on that one. What's the acceptance criteria to the programs?
There isn't any. There's not an application process. Any student can participate.
Okay. So
they have an interest in the pathways.
Okay. And is it just based off of that at that point capacity?
I mean, we have low, right now there are low numbers because we're starting up. There isn't, I don't think we really have like a max. I mean,
yeah, it's too soon to tell. I think, like, for instance, there are some, like, one of the courses at the end is a capstone that we may only have 24 spots in. I mean, I think it would be, like, something to celebrate, actually, if we have 24 students so soon and so quickly who want to be part of a pathway. So I think we'll face those challenges as they come. But for now, we're just hoping that kids start to take advantage of this opportunity. I think it's really going to be a great experience for those who get involved.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think this is definitely a worthwhile one to take. Love to hear more once students all go through the process and you know who's going to be in it, like what's the take rate and really what are the next steps at that point. That's great stuff. Thank you.
I just want to. Oh, yeah, go ahead. I'll
We'll come back.
First of all, thank you so much. In the last meeting, when we heard from heard about this pathway, I was so excited because this was one of my discussion during my Gotham League elections as well, right? So I was very interested to know about how we can engage our students in our pathway education. So I'm glad to see it's coming through. So a few questions on that. So basically, you said there's no evaluation criteria, but they do have honors and CP on this.
In their coursework, yes. In their classes, they do, yes, but not to participate in the pathway.
Oh, not to participate in the pathway. Okay. And what is the implication? Like, all these courses come as an electives for them, and then they have to choose these courses, or is it something completely different outside of those current major and electives?
No, it's within the course offerings.
Okay.
So we talked this year about teachers having conversations with students who they recognize might have an interest in either of these two pathways, and just raising awareness. And we talked about how guidance counselors would have those individual conversations to say, hey, you seem to be on this path. If you take one more course here, then mm-hmm. by senior year, you can take this. And so we're just developing those, the process. We have the process, but it's all developing. So we'll see how it goes and make adjustments as necessary.
I'm just wondering, currently we have some limitations on if you take an AP, you cannot attend the orchestra. Something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So is it going to be having a similar situation? Hey, I want to do a health course, but my orchestra is impacted, or maybe some other electives or some other course that the student wanted to take is going to be impacted. So is it going to the same way it is structured, or this will be a separate stream where everybody gets an opportunity to go in the pathway stream? That is something that I would like to get some clarity on that. Otherwise, no. Again, we get the same problem there, AP versus orchestra.
I think the scheduling restrictions exist mm-hmm. no matter what course mm-hmm. offerings.
Yes,
Dr. Brush?
Yes. I think one other piece to this is a critical component, what Christine is working to build out, is the connection with students and the early development of their high school plan. So we've talked about getting to the middle school and exposure to the eighth grade students and eventually seventh grade students. And so as they enter high school, they have a plan. So could it be a situation where maybe there might be some conflicts? If that's the case, hopefully we've identified that early on, and then counselors will be working with students early on. So we won't be a junior year saying, ooh, we know you want to be in this pathway opportunity, but that will have been identified early on so the students would know. You know, like as you enter college, you have your kind of four-year college path and you modify your majors, minors, concentrations, things like that. Similar to that, the goal is to be planning those, like doing my CAP process ultimately early on. But could there be those potentials?
Okay.
Potentials.
Probably, I think there might be a gap earlier because we didn't have the kind of a counseling session given to our middle schoolers because they were spending 3 years on orchestra. All of a sudden, when they come to freshman year, they said, hey, it's orchestra versus your AP or something else, or some other course they want to do. I'm just trying to foresee that kind of a situation and try to avoid during the scheduling, try to avoid the situation so that everybody gets an opportunity to do what they wanted to do. So that's one of my requests to the administration team here. And I have a few more questions, if you don't mind. So second thing is, how did we end up identifying Latin as the world language for the new courses offering?
How did that come to be, the proposal?
Yeah.
I think a number of things. We, as the community is aware, right now our current Latin offerings are 0.6, so we have a 0.6 Latin teacher. And as unfortunately Latin is being phased out, there are some students still who are interested. And this teacher is great. It's like a contemporary approach to teaching Latin, and it also may draw a particular student who has interest, and I also think it's connected potentially to the pathway. Not yet, but it would really certainly support students who are interested in that. Can I add something?
Well, I was just going to add, I'm a former language teacher too, so I just wanted to say that I think Latin is the foundational language for a lot of legal vocabulary, as well as a lot of medical terminology. So I think that's where the Latin connection comes in. It happens to also connect with our current needs in the building, but the content area aligns with those particular fields.
Yeah, but that'd be very small, maybe a semester or two.
They would both be semester courses,
I'm not sure how that's going to help, but I'm just trying to see how Latin is going to help the students.
I think it's possible that they could be offered, one semester of the legal for those students, and then potentially students who are interested in both courses could take both, or they could take one or the other.
Right. Yeah. One last thing, so the jamming course, I know it is more of a exploratory phase. So is there going to be a pattern of or a proposal of curriculum for that? How it is going to be implemented?
We do have there is a plan. in the proposal that I'm peeking at right now, that was submitted by our music director Diane Plouffe and Leanne Rutzit, our teacher at the high school. Is Diane here? Feel free to chime in if I'm misrepresenting. It's beginner-friendly, hands-on ensemble course where students experience the excitement of performing music together on a variety of instruments. Students explore steady beat, simple chord progressions, and beginner improvisation through familiar songs and creative activities. Emphasis is placed on listening skills, teamwork, building confidence, and collaborative musician. And then it talks about instruction supports the development of foundational performance skills while encouraging creativity and musical expression. And there's a reference here to some of the national standards related to music that are relevant. So performing with correct posture, basic tone quality, steady tempo, reading and interpreting beginner level music rotation, improvising short rhythmic and melodic ideas, and rehearsing and performing collaboratively. This sounds like a great course. That really touches on not just the music skills, but other developmental skills that we'd love for our students to experience.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was going to ask a little bit about the awareness, but you talked about how you're going to try to reach out to students, and it's kind of like a work in progress to try to figure out the best way to do that. So, and then I wanted to commend you all. Just like, this is excellent. Just to see progress given the restraints that our district has faced, like with the failed overrides and the massive consolidation that you guys just did us all through. Like it's just great. So welcome to the district, Christine. Like we get things done here. We're actually implementing. I'm like, oh, you're in the right district if you want to implement things. So super happy to see another music offering. I love music being listed as an academic course and not a club. It's to just reiterate that, because music and languages have been hard hit. And no pun intended, thank you for keeping Latin alive. I know that languages, music especially. The wind block, are there opportunities? I know you mentioned you're starting to do some guidance offerings during the wind block, because I did get some calls like, and we're such a big district, it's like teacher conferences in middle school, right? Like we're gonna close down the schools for 2 weeks so that everybody gets a teacher conference with each teacher. So some parents who are, because I've got a freshman and eighth grader, so I'm starting to be in the circle of parents like, oh my God, do I need an Excel spreadsheet? Like, how am I gonna figure this out? I'm not gonna know how to get my kid to college CCS notes. And it's like, just go talk to your guidance counselor. And it's like, well, you guys also have like quite a few students to I think that's a great idea. I don't wanna put you on the spot, I wanna take up all this time, but guidance opportunities during wind block, I think kids would take advantage of.
Yeah. They've been offering them all year for different reasons, depending on the timing.
Yeah.
I can speak as a career school counselor. Having a wind block is like a gift. Being able to put something on my schedule where I get to meet with a group of students a half an hour a day. I met with seniors today about senior project students that don't have a senior project yet. And I got to spend time with them, and they scheduled to see me, and I felt so excited about it. And it was great, but I spend 4 days a week meeting with students during wind block, and it's incredible.
Good. Yeah, and in my limited time, just being an education advocate, I've learned student-led, product-based, it's what's progressive, it's what's good. So it's good to hear that you guys are taking it on. So the only quick question, do we have a, I have a sidebar conversation, but I have a parent that approached me about possibly developing a scheduling software. So she wanted me to learn about what our scheduling software is and if it's good. So I'll ask you guys offline, but I'm sure Lucas knows the ins and outs of that. But, excellent, thank you. Thank you for all of this. I'm good.
Thank you very much. A lot of hard work, a lot of innovation was spoken about a lot. As my colleague Ruthann said, especially when it comes to land, the fact that it has a bunch of cuts and you know it goes and we lost that, but then to kind of bring it back in this capacity is fantastic. When I saw that, my wife and I have been watching Suits a whole bunch lately, and so the Latin for the legal, I was like, oh, I'm all in. I finally understand what Harvey Specter's talking about. But in the American history through sports is incredible. Thank you for elaborating on the learning to jam to. When I saw that, it brought me back to some of those bucket drumming on Friday afternoon that we had during COVID. I'm glad that that's not it. It sounds really exciting. And the ref opportunity as well, the little guy, we see that now. He has high schoolers that are refereeing him. And it's a great opportunity, both for obviously for the refs, but for like the little kids. It's like a little mini coach that they have there. But it's also such a great equalizer to be able to do it in the classroom versus to have to do that as an outside activity that some kids in Franklin may not be able to afford or be able to access. So I love that. One more thing, just volunteer requirement. I know that was something that was talked about in the past, kind of like along with personal literacy. I think it was withdrawn because of financial reasons, but then I think I saw in the handbook it said like class of 2029, but it was kind of left vague. Do we have a volunteer or community service requirement right now for graduation?
We currently do not.
And any intent right now to look into that or to try to bring that back?
We've had some conversations about it. I think that's work that we're going to focus on this summer. Part of the reason why it was eliminated was the position was eliminated, the person who was overseeing it. And so we have not been able to bring that back just yet, although it's something that we all feel is important. I will say that a lot of our students do have community service and perform community service opportunities through other organizations through the school, mm-hmm. through our community service club, National Honor Society. Almost all of our athletic teams do some sort of community service hours through their, within their seasons, some local places and some neighboring communities. So we do still hear about a lot, but as a graduation requirement, right now we don't have one.
Okay, thank you. And then one of the touch base real quick, just on that pathways, I absolutely love that. I love that we went from that grant seed money to kind of what we have here right now. As that continues on being developed, once students kind of finish up with that 100-hour capstone, will there be like a celebration, a recognition? Is that something that is noted like in graduation?
It's a great idea, thanks. We haven't thought about that yet, but yes, I can think of some other designations right now in our graduation, like, what is that called, program, right? We have a designation for the Seal of Biliteracy, so yes, we will have some sort of designation, and maybe they'll have a special color stole or sash or symbol or pin, but it's certainly worth acknowledging for sure.
Love that. Thank you. And just lastly, when we kind of talk about Latin, so I would imagine not every teacher is able to teach Latin, medical, Latin, legal. Is that correct? It's a very kind of niche. It requires a certification, a lot of educational experience. Mm-hmm. And I think just kind of like more broadly to the community, like when there's a lot of, you know, conversations about some of the teachers that we had to cut. You know, we had to don't have a community service requirement because of budget cuts. And now we're kind of bringing back like this Latin in some capacity, but we mentioned it wouldn't take much to kind of see that unraveling. It's so important to not only attract, but retain these great high quality teachers that we have. And that's why I know in a couple of weeks we'll be shifting on over to talking about the budget. That's why it's so vital and important that we continue to provide a high quality budget, a budget that supports all of our students and all of these programs here, because it doesn't take much for all of a sudden some of these programs to kind of start falling by the wayside. And I know, like with the program of studies, we've seen in the past that there was a couple of level three programs that got cut, and suddenly then there's this domino effect where at the intro level, folks weren't learning to jam because that progression was no longer available. So they knew, why do I kind of go down that path if the end of the road is kind of just fell off the cliff. And so I hope that folks, when they see this is amazing. This is so exciting. And I love the programs that you're doing, and it's so innovative on how you're doing it. And we need to make sure as a community that we fund this to ensure that we are able to provide these amazing services and educational opportunities to our kids. Thank you so much for all the work. Appreciate it.
So then, following up on that is always fun and entertaining. Thank you for the great summary there, Dave. I wanted to call out the AP business. I thought that was really impressive that, first you're being offered by College Board. We're immediately taking that up, kind of staying at the cutting edge of things as best we can, especially with the big focus in the school from the business side of things. I was really happy to see that also. Understanding that because it's the first year, there's training involved, there are resources involved, and we've benefited from being first up, where we've not had to pay for that. So again, looking at ways that we can really continue to improve the school district at a minimal cost. There's a lot of high quality teachers that we have in order to support something like this, in order to be ready to teach this, first year. But we do have a lot of advantages that we're able to bring forth from that. So I appreciate the efforts there. The other thing that I wanted to comment on was the innovation career pathways. This is really exciting to see this continue to push through, seeing this coming together and hearing more about how we have it organized. The kind of open access, I think, is actually really neat. I wasn't entirely sure. I was actually glad that it came up earlier as to how do you, step into that, and seeing that students are able to just kind of look at all the different possible offerings and enter into those pathways is great. One of the concerns that I have in the longer term is that it sounds great now, and as you pointed out, when it comes to our partnerships that we have, we don't think we're going to run into issues because there's just not that many students at the moment. And I want to make sure that we just stay ahead of that as much as we can, and also diversify where we can so that this never becomes that problem. If we have lots of students entering this, that's fantastic. I'm excited to see it. I don't want it to be where 2 years down the road we have to say, great, first 50 is signed up. Congratulations, everybody else. I'm sorry, we just don't have enough partnerships. So early on, fantastic to see. I'm really looking forward to seeing what we're able to get out of this. But as we continue to go, let's really look at this as something that needs a lot of attention, especially on that back end, so we can finish strong. We might have a lot of students starting in that program, and I want to make sure that, to Dave's reference actually about some of the cuts we'd experienced, I don't want them to get halfway through and then say, well, I hope that I have a project at the end, that we have, we always have something lined up, because that, I think, is one of the biggest benefits, here, 100 hours of, hands-on work, discussion about certifications, those are things that I'm not entirely sure all the students understand just how critical those are and how far that sets you apart, especially in this day and age when, yes, it's high school, but some of those certifications are things that are going to carry you. You're going to leave college, you're still going to have that certification with you, and it's going to be something that really gives you a leg up in the long run. So I appreciate that we're providing those opportunities for the students, and want to make sure that we continue to expand and really look into that as much as we can, so that we do open those opportunities for folks who might not necessarily know that they're there or what they do. Excellent.
Thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.